York. This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic. Listening to the From the Attic podcast in an attic can break the space-time continuum and may also cause night terrors.
Hello and welcome back to the attic, Kevin Kenny. Welcome, Kevin.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm very well. You have the honour of being the first returning guest to my attic.
I am honoured indeed. I am honoured.
But there's this special reason and good cause. What I personally think is the best album you've released, Remnants of a Life.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is the brand new Scarlet Inside album. It's, I think, what was it, 4 days old now?
I think it came out Friday just gone, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
So we're going to have a chat about that and just check in on how you're doing since we last spoke. Everything treating you well up there in Scotland?
Well, the sun's out. It's a lovely day. I had a look out the window yesterday and people were playing football and there were cars driving around and it looked very ordinary, just like a normal spring day outside. So everything's just slowly dripping back to normal now.
Loads of kids pointing at the sun saying, "What's that, Mum?"
Yeah, it's not something we get here very often. I don't know if you can see in the Zoom, there's just a shaft of sunlight coming into my left-hand side here.
I can see your shaft, Kevin.
Yes, well, that's it.
But no, we've had a nice weekend. We've had a sunny weekend. I took the girl out for a walk. It was very pleasant.
The only thing we did this weekend was my girlfriend had to go and get her first vaccination injection. So it's a good thing. It wasn't entertaining, but it was a good thing.
Absolutely. So I mean, COVID's hard enough as it is, just going about normal day-to-day business. I can imagine it must be really, really hard to make a record in terms of COVID.
It's very strange. You make plans of what you're going to do, how you would like to make the record, how you would like to do the writing sessions and various things like that, and then it just slams shut on you. For me, I don't think it was that much different. Scarlet Inside has, much against my will, I have to say, been very much of a solo project over the last 10 years. So much of what I do is in my own studio or taking things to other places and finishing off and various bits and pieces like that. In this case, however, I had been introduced to a gentleman named Bob Grant. We had gone out one night to see the German band Crystal Palace play at a gig in Glasgow. And the lead singer of Long Earth approached me, Martin Haggerty, and says, "I've got a guy over there, a friend of mine. He's looking to get into a band. He's an old player of good stock and kindly gentleman. You might want to get in touch." So I spoke to him briefly, and then we got in touch, and we set up to do a live gig first before we'd ever even got into any sort of talk of doing an album. And the idea was that Bob's got a nice rehearsal set up in his house, and we would go over there, start putting together bits and pieces of tracks, and then take the writing on from that level. We started off, I mean, it was simply a matter of I hadn't worked with Bob before, and I'd basically done virtually everything else in every other Scarlet Inside album. So I says, "Right, give me something you've got, you know, give me something that's not me." So he played to me a few sort of bass riffs and chord structures of a track that he'd had for quite some time. Didn't know how he was going to arrange it. And I says, "That's great, I'll take that away." And that turned into the track In the Ether. So that was sort of the process. We thought, right, that's great. I've got something directly from Bob. It's not coming from me. All I'm doing is the arranging and then playing the guitars and pianos and any other instruments on it. We recorded all of the sessions we did at the time, even if it was just, "I've got four chords. I think they sound nice together." Put them down as a large file. And I took that home. He kept a version in his house. Next thing we know, of course, everything slammed shut. We're not allowed to visit each other. And I can't say at any point in time I thought, right, we can't continue this, because I always knew we could continue it. But the idea obviously was going to be, I do a bit on my side, he does a bit on his side, then I adjust to that and he adjusts to mine. And so it was slower than we wanted to. We ended up working on probably less than we would have done if we'd got together more often. So we worked on the material that was from the original rehearsal sessions, and I tried to put them together into some sort of structure, either as individual tracks or putting different bits and pieces together. And then I'd send it over to Bob, and he'd add in... Bob's got this wonderful habit of saying, right, I'll get back to you in a couple of weeks, and then he'll send you 20 files, and it's 7 different basses and 3 guitars. And, you know, which one do you prefer the sound of?
Oh, I'm terrible. Right? I'm terrible with choice. I struggle with my breakfast order in America. It's...
I'll pile through all of the different basses that he's played and the different things, and then I'll go back and say, right, I like the Rickenbacker opening, but I preferred the Fender Precision in the main body of the song. We could use both if you want, or
multi-track them.
We could just switch over, you know, from bits to pieces, and the guitar, the 12 string you put underneath it, that's fine. That fits what I've done with my guitar. So, and that's what we did for a year. It's just constantly pass things backwards and forwards between the two of us. And my job was in my studio was to glue it all together, basically, into some sort of coherent package.
Well, as I said when we were chatting before the interview started proper, it's your most cohesive record, I think. And before I said that pretentious Radio 6 Music type of thing, I hadn't actually looked on your Bandcamp page. Well, I had looked on your Bandcamp page because I bought it the other day. I hope you've got me money.
Oh yes.
But I've downloaded a FLAC version because I'm going to do a FLAC feature on NTAPs, but I've got a WAV file for sticking into the pod. But I noticed at the bottom of the Remnants of a Life page, it kind of sort of confirms what I was thinking about the cohesiveness of the project, because it says it's a collection of songs about home.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't deliberate. Neither of us were deliberately looking for, a concept album or a thematic album.
No.
But the first track, as I said, we did was coming from a track from Bob in the Ether.
Yeah, we're going to play that in a moment, aren't we? So, tell us about that.
I thought that's actually a slightly different style from what my previous albums would be. I mean, I will admit totally that I am an experimentalist to the point that I'm not very afraid to fail. I don't mind failing as long as I think I've made the right experiment and I've made the right, the journey that I wanted to take this on. But he gave me this track and I started working on the construction of it. And so I got to him and I said, well, what are we going to do for words? He says, well, I've got a whole pile of words here, but it is just a pile. They're not in any kind of cohesive order, to use that word again. And some of them were actually written on the back of an old 1970s job centre. What do you call them, those things? A UB40.
Oh, Christ, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
And so he's a bit like me. He just writes things, he just wrote these things anywhere and everywhere. So I took all that away with me. And I says, well, what's it about? He says, well, really, it's about looking out at other people's sort of houses and worlds and how you look as if they're all broken, but what's actually broken is yours, your world, and you can't really see outside properly. I says, well, I've got this thing, this track, Blue Street, that's really about growing up in my home. Why don't we make it somewhere around, not a thematic album, but most of it, the words at least, about what home is. Because we're all stuck at home right now.
Very you good, know, yes.
Most of us can't think of anything else but, what am I going to do at home? You know, what is this home to me? What is this house? Can I stand it any longer? What do I make my house into? So we just looked at all the different aspects of what home and house and things like that actually were, and that's how we worked the lyrics through the album. And as I say, Bob's track in the Aether gave me a sort of, I suppose, a direction to go in. It was a lot mellower than much of the stuff I'd done.
Yeah, I've picked up on that.
I've done sort of folky things in the past and sort of really nice sort of emotive tracks and things like that in the past. I suppose something like We Cry Alone is always regarded as the most emotive track I've done, and certainly it's the most popular live. But I thought, well, why don't we go down that route then? And so I took things from my ideas that were a bit more emotive, a bit more, as you say, cohesive, and a bit simpler and less experimental than I'd previously been. And I didn't want to frighten Bob off. You know, when I start getting really experimental, people run for cover. So I thought, be nice to him.
I was going to say it's the most accessible album you've done, I think.
Yes, and it was simply a matter of, it wasn't set off to be or must do an accessible commercial album because that's what's needed. It was a matter of, oh, I've got a theme here, I've got a feeling, I've got a route to go down. Why don't we just continue down that route?
Because we played Blue Street on NTAPs last year, which you trialled as a single back in 2020. Was that when it was still a part of the album, or did you kind of build the album around it after that?
The idea was, well, there was a lot of delays. You know, it could be weeks and weeks between me sending stuff to Bob and Bob sending stuff to me. I'd hoped to get the album finished by the end of the year. It looked as if it was going to be a lot later than it actually turned out to be. And it had been 2 years since I had released the EP, The Cabinet of Mundane Things, and I thought, I've got this track, Blue Street. It fits in with the theme of what we're doing. It's a track I wrote about 10 years ago, but never found a place for it on any album. It seems to fit this one. I've got an idea. Why don't we complete this one? Or you add the bass to it and any guitars you want to put under it. For me, the track's finished. I've already recorded the whole thing. I've written and sung it. Why don't I see if we can release this as a sort of pre-release taster single, just to keep the world aware that we are still here, we are still going, because everybody had disappeared, you know, the whole sort of world. So I'll release this out. So I got in touch with a friend of mine in Paris, Pierre Manvier. He belongs to an act called Vox Nostra. Wonderful piano player, great arranger. Does everything from jazz Latin masses to pop songs. He's a fantastic guy. And I said, could you play the piano on this? He says, I'll do some Rhodes piano for you.
Nice.
He says, but your classical quartet bit in the middle isn't quite right. Do you mind if I rearrange that as well? And I said, no, go ahead. You rearrange that. That's fine. Then I got contacted by a guy from the Scottish Borders, Andy Anstruther. He had said, I heard you were looking for somebody to do some drums. I've got a remote setup. I can do drums here for you. So he put the drums together for it. And it was just nice to get a sort of a group of people around a single track. And we thought we'd put it out as a bit of a taster for what I thought was going to be an album in maybe November. But
right,
it turned out much later than that.
As I say, I remember playing it on NTAPs last year, and enjoying it. But I must admit, when I first listened to the album, I was blown away by the cohesiveness of it all. For people who don't know it, you're not one hit wonders, are you, Scarlet Inside? If you go to the scarletinside.bandcamp.com page, there's a dozen releases, all of which are varied and different, and some experimental. And for me, that's the very definition of progressive, Kevin.
since I became, you can call it a full-time musician, but it basically means I don't work doing anything else now.
Same with me and my DJing.
Yes, I have a reason why I don't work anymore. No need to go into that in too much detail. But I found that I was doing the Scarlet Inside things, and when you're out playing live a lot, as I was maybe between 10 and 5 years ago, you know, it could be 3-4 nights a week sometime touring around Scotland and things like that. That's fine, right. You're busy. But when that all kind of fell apart and I decided I'm just going to stick with the albums for the moment, I found that I could do a Scarlet Inside album, and then I had an awful lot of time to myself. So I literally split Scarlet Inside up into three groups. Scarlet Inside, which is the band. That's the progressive rock music. Kevin Kenny, brackets Scarlet Inside, and that's just acoustic albums.
Okay.
Just albums of acoustic music that just wouldn't have fitted into anything else. And an act called Thinside, which is just a shortened of Scarlet Inside, where I would spend some time recording and playing around with electronic music and ambient music and soundscaping and landscaping. So although they're all on the same sort of page and band camp, there's actually three separate bands there. But right, it's all okay. Me, just because I've got all that literally spare time to make music in. And
but for those who are interested, you can get all of them, and there's a dozen at least, I think, for £30. So do it on a Bandcamp Friday, and
next one's next week.
Bob's your uncle, as we say. We'll try and get the pod out before Friday then. So everybody go, Bandcamp Friday, Scarlet Inside. Make Kevin very happy. So we've been chatting for a wee while now, Kevin. I know you mentioned In the Ether at the top of the chat. Shall we have a listen to it? What do you reckon?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
We'll cue. Let me just get my buttons and knobs all sorted out, and we'll cue that. So, In the Ether from Remnants of a Life. Speak to you momentarily.
Okay.
You're listening to the From the Attic podcast, brought to you by Progzilla Radio
and Dead Bob Productions.
Oh, it's a marvellous place, this recording studio. All those dials and tape machines and turntables. Oh, I'd like to be a recording engineer. But it must be a nerve-wracking job, living on spins and needles.
It puts the podcast in the attic, or else it gets the hose again.
You are listening to From the Attic Podcast, brought to you by Progzilla Radio and Dead Bob Productions. Presented by Brian Watson. Splendid fellow.
Jaw-dropping, toe-tapping, mighty sounding, always firing, mind-blowing, dreaming, making, melodroning, ever fucking captivating, always playing. Progzilla.
Nobody puts a podcast in the attic.
Welcome back. That was In the Ether by Scarlet Inside from new record Remnants of a Life. I don't think I asked you the first time, Kevin, who we've got with us in the attic, by the way, dear listener. The font with the capitals and the lowercase stuff, is there a particular ethos behind the typography?
It's... I'm a very... I don't know the best way to describe it. I don't have much sort of patience or relaxation or time to sort of chill out. And so I do everything at triple speed. And you probably tell by the way I talk. I do tend to talk a lot. And I'm always on to something. I've always got something else I need to do. And it happened that when I was typing things.
Oh, outstanding.
Whenever I pressed to get a capital letter at the beginning of a word, I would forget to take my finger off, and I'd always end up with two capital letters at the beginning of a word. And brilliant. It just kept happening over and over again. And I thought to myself, do you know what? Why not just go with it? You know, why not just roll into it and then make it a piece, make it a thing? And
oh, that's outstanding. I thought you were going to sort of say something like it is like a postmodern meta analysis of man's struggle against God knows what, but no, fat thumbs.
Mostly man's struggle these days. Mostly man's struggle these days is about picking the right font. I mean, that's the real harassment we get with computers these days.
So. Absolutely, but I'm looking at the array of buttons and knobs surrounding me, and iPads and phones and everything, and thinking not that long ago. When if you wanted to speak to your mates, I was telling my daughter at the weekend, you had to go to the phone box at the end of the street and put, I think it was 2p.
It was 2 pence.
I've got a memory of putting 2p pieces in a call box at the end of Ings Way.
Oh, I remember, I remember getting our very first house phone in the, that would have been the mid-1970s. So... It's
a house phone was my 18th birthday present, Kevin.
My goodness.
My mum and dad got a house phone for my 18th, so it was 1982.
Oh, wow. No, I think ours was the late 70s. I think it was my brother was a sound engineer for a band, and my sister was working and various such. So they always needed to get in touch with people, so it was something we thought we'd better throw into the house.
Excellent. So we're going to wrap up, Kev, shortly, but before we do, we've mentioned everybody should go to scarletinside.bandcamp.com, especially on Bandcamp Fridays. Pick up a copy of the album, pick up a copy of the full discography bundle. Plans, I know things are up in the air COVID-wise, but any Scarlet Inside-related plans we need to be aware of?
Yes. Last year we had been invited to play two different festivals. And when I say different festivals, I really mean two different festivals. The Prog in the Park Festival, which was Go Ahead in Dunfermline.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Alan Reid's playing there with the Daughters of Expediency, and I don't know who else he's trying to get. Long Earth are playing there, I know that. I can't remember who else, but the poster's out, and it's all available on the Prog in the Park Facebook site. But that's been cancelled again and put to next year. So we have been asked to play that again. I was also asked to play at a steampunk festival in Stoke Prior, wherever that is. I think mainly, as you say, the earlier stuff is a bit different. It's a bit quirky. And so it kind of fits in with some aspects of that as well. Other than that, it was a shame we couldn't do anything for the release of the album. Maybe later on in the year, we'll try and sort of put something together. I'm hoping that when we get the okay to go back out and start playing live, that there'll be a burst of enthusiasm for it.
And I think there will. I think there'll be a mass outpouring of activity and ticket buying and
yeah, and gig I certainly going. Hope so. And so we can maybe get attached to something along that way. I'm not sure what the live setup's going to be. I've got people involved in the band, but they all live in distant places. Bob and I are in the same town. We're both in Glasgow, but Brian, who I must mention in a minute, just before we go, lives 30 miles down the coast, and Pierre lives in Paris, and Andy lives in Dumfries, and so probably what we would end up doing is maybe Bob and I just doing something together, just so that we can get out and play live, and see if we can get somebody else to come in and augment the band. In terms of, I did want to say something about Brian though. Brian Johnston, who's a musician in his own right and has done a number of things. I've sung on some of his albums. He's played on some of mine and played live for me for about the past 5 years. He actually allowed me to release the album through his record label, Arvida Music.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that. Sorry, go on.
He had decided that basically he was fed up trying to sort of getting through all the sort of the business of getting music out. So as he was dealing with it all himself anyway, him and a friend of his from Germany, Ralph, would set up Arvida Music and they would release albums from that. As Brian and I had played together and worked together for so long, he says, why don't you release music from Arvida Music? So I put three of the previous albums on, and now Remnants of a Life is officially coming out via Arvida Music, although it's available. And I think the streaming release is at the end of this week. So that'll be going out into Spotify and Apple and whatever's still alive by the time streaming the streaming thing comes out, because I think one or two of them are going to die off, but I'm not sure which ones.
Brilliant. I must admit, I listened to quite a high quality download of it, and it's an impressive piece of work, Kevin. I've got to tell you.
Well, as I say, we ended up having a lot longer to do it than we thought we were going to do it. So there was a lot of time to go back and say, do you know what? I think I'll try that again. That bit maybe not work. Wonder if we could try this bit in there. And so, I mean, all in all, it took 2 years to write. 1 year with Bob and 1 year with me doing it prior to that. So I had material available. But whether that was going to go on the album or not, I don't know. I tend to write maybe 30 to 40 tracks for each album and then pick them out from the bits and pieces. So, as I said, when Bob came up with In the Ether, I thought, right, there's a theme, there's a style. There's one big one in there which is slightly different. Doesn't really fit the theme, but
it's a beast, is that? It's a proper epic, Ring of Truth, isn't it?
Yes, it's the story of the Renaissance painter Artemisia Gentileschi.
Of course it is.
Standard prog material.
Prog with a capital F.
Yeah, and it's a story that I've been fascinated by for many years, and I love her art. But it's one of the, you could say it's one of the first sort of gossip scandals that ever really happened. And it was in all the medieval papers, and it was a court case and all sorts of things. And
amazing.
It's a fascinating story. And I've been trying to write music for it for years, but I hadn't managed. This time, it just seemed to work.
Brilliant. We're going to play out, Kevin, with For This Time. We were chatting before the interview, and we thought that would be an appropriate track to close the pod with. Do you want to tell us about that one really quickly?
All This Time was a piece of music that I had recorded. As I said, I'd done a year's worth of writing and recording before Bob came in. And it was a piece of music that I had, which seemed now to fit the style of the album. And I put some words together for it. And it's essentially, it's about those moments when we leave home. For whatever reason, you know, you might become a teenager and go to college, or you might walk out on somebody, or you might have to leave your home because it's not big enough for you anymore, or you might have had a row and walked out. And so it's all of those reasons why we might move on to some new part of our life. And then at the very end, I decided, you know what, let's make the last verse about coming back home.
Brilliant.
Or moving into your new home and this next part of your life.
Brilliant. It's as you were saying earlier, especially now, as we're so inexorably tied and linked to these places, because of the pandemic, they come to define us even more than they might ordinarily have done so.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's not been very different, because I do spend the majority of my time at home, probably in the studio, probably working. I don't know if you can look around, but there's sort of guitars and pianos, and there's an art section at the back of the room.
Fantastic.
It's all sorts of things.
Proper man cave, that.
It is. And so I spend a lot of my time in here anyway. But it's been annoying not being able to get out. The original idea was to record all the music and then go to Brian Johnson's studio to record the vocals. But that never happened now, so maybe the next album.
So, from a nerdy tech point of view, you're doing it in software and DAWs and all that, and sending.
Yep, I started using Cubase when it came out on the Atari 1050 ST, that was introduced to us in a studio in Motherwell where I used to live. Early 80s or mid 80s or whatever it was at that time. So I'm a bit of a Cubase nerd, but I've also got one or two others. I've got a PreSonus Studio and Ableton, and Bob's got Logic that he uses and Cubase. So whatever it took, you know, whatever one it took, we just used it. Would that have a better thing on it? Has that got a better system for that? Why don't I transfer that whole thing over onto the PreSonus and see what the sound like is there? You know, I mean, I was listening to something one day and my girlfriend walked in and she said, "That sounds different. Why does that sound better?" I says, "Well, I'll put it over onto the Studio One." She says, "Well, leave it there then, because it sounds better than it did the last time." I said, "Well, fair enough." So,
a pair of ears is a pair of ears, isn't it?
Yep, any equipment that's available, we'll use.
Fabulous. So we're going to play out of the pod then, Kevin, with For This Time. Thank you once again for joining me. Thank you for being the second or the first repeat guest to The Attic.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you very much for allowing me to come on and talk about this album of ours.
Well, you're an old NTAPS alumni. You're one of the first person who did me an ident, which I lost when my computer completely crashed and burnt and went teet soup. But we may well rectify that with you doing me another one.
Could do that, yes. That would be no problem at all.
at some point. So, yes. So, thank you, Kevin Kenny of Scarlet Inside. scarletinside.bandcamp.com. Remnants of a Life. Go there on a Bandcamp Friday. And make Kevin very happy. Thank you once again, Kevin. I've been Brian Watson. This has been From the Attic, and this is For This Time. Ta-ta. See you later, Kevin.
Bye-bye, Brian. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You need $1 million computer to understand this.
You know, I can still remember the very first sweets given to me by my grandfather. They were Werther's Original, and I was just a boy. I had a bit of trouble opening that shiny golden wrapper, but then... Well, I'll never forget that first taste. Sweet and creamy and uncommonly good. I remember feeling I must be someone very special when my granddad gave me his wonderful butter candy. Well, now I'm the granddad. And what else would I give my grandson but my Werther's Original? After all, he's someone very special too, you know.
Get back in there right now and Play Yaya Ding Dong!
Music of true remembered hills.
time, breathe for the last time. This time we'll sing words of simple
Tony for tonight's gamble.
It's star price time, it's 101 or more, and it's Brian Troy. And that's a one. Oh, that's out the board. It's a one, it can't be done, unfortunately, but that's the gamble.
You have failed me for the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.